The Thrive Podcast, led by faith to elevate His name, encourage the body of Christ, enrich our families, and serve our brothers and sisters through hard work and with integrity, bringing glory to God. This is how we thrive. And now, your host, Casey Majorca.
And welcome back to the Thrive Podcast. Before we get started today, it's going to be just a short little intro, just something that's been on my mind. I've been reading Facebook, and the other day, I read this post from a good friend, and he had talked about how he had just witnessed a lady basically throwing herself in front of a dump truck in order to save a duck. I don't know what to say except that this world is becoming unhinged. I mean, things are just going crazy. This is bad stuff, people. Now, how did I get from that, from a woman throwing herself in front of a dump truck to save a duck? Here's why. It's a duck, okay? I don't hate wildlife. And so I read something like this, and you got to realize something, people. It's a duck. It is not worth you risking your life. Does this person not care about their life so much that they want to save a duck? Or is it that they're thinking to themselves, oh my goodness, I'm the only one on this planet that needs to save this duck. Did she think it was endangered? And even then, it's a duck. I don't think there's another way to say that. And for you to not care about your own life enough to risk it in order to save a duck like that, it just doesn't make any sense. People's priorities are completely out of whack right now. And we all have got to focus on what's most important right now. And that is getting close to Jesus, getting to know Him. And if you don't know Him, you have got to get to know Him. Jesus is the only way. He's the only way to heaven. He's the only person that's going to solve all your problems. Politicians are not going to solve your problems. Your neighbors are not going to solve your problems. You name the person. No one can solve your problems but Jesus Christ. And right now, we have all got to get that in our heads. We've all got to make that our priority in life. We need to get closer. How do we do that? We need to be reading our Bible. Now, I've talked in the past couple podcasts about how I need to get better about reading my Bible. And I'm not perfect yet, but man, have I been reading it more. And it's just getting me fired up. It's getting me all fired up for this guy named Jesus. He's amazing. I already knew that. But now I've got this deep love for Him. I have this whole new perspective now that I'm being fed so much more of God's word into me. It feeds me to want it. I want more. I keep trying to find a way to get more time reading the Bible. I think it's something we all need to do. And when I read these kind of things in the world, I know that we all need to get doing this and we need to get word out. And what it comes down to is, what are your priorities in life? And if you have a question as to what your priorities are, if you're sitting here listening to this going, well, do I have the right priorities? Do me a big favor. Take a look at your bank account. Take a look at your calendar. Those two things will tell you where your priorities are in life. And sometimes it's not fun to look at. We did this a couple years ago. We looked at our calendar and you know, we looked at our bank account and we'd say, wow, we're tithing. Yeah, our financial priority is God. And so we were good there. But then we looked at our calendar and said, you know what? We got a problem. We're not spending a lot of time with God. We're not spending a lot of time at church. And we need to remedy that. And we got fired up and life has changed and for so much better. So that's your challenge these upcoming weeks. Take a good hard look at your calendar. Take a good hard look at your bank account and ask yourself, where are your priorities right now? With that, we've got a great show for you today. We had Aaron Quinones from Q Missions, and we had Bo Chevasu from Knox Studios. We've got a great story, and we're just going to go right into it because it was absolutely great. So please listen to the whole thing. And at the end, we got another giveaway coming up. You're really going to like this giveaway. I promise you're going to want to go to it. Oh, just gave away a little bit of it. I guess you'll have to find out in a minute. in the studio once again. What is this? This one's number four. We have Aaron Quinones from Q Missions, and I am pleased to introduce for the first time Mr. Bo Shevasu.
It is a pleasure to be here, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for having us.
You're very welcome. Aaron, welcome back to you as well.
Hey, thanks for having me. I always enjoy coming in the studio.
Same here. Well, I think we're going to have a good time today since we just cut 7 minutes of test that was pretty hilarious and a lot of fun. So I think we're going to have a good time today. Before we start, I did want to bring up, we've got something really important going on for 4th of July. We got Fire for Effect with Q Missions. Tell us a little bit about that, Aaron.
So yeah, Fire for Effect is a fireworks stand we're going to use as a fundraiser. So this was just kind of a harebrained idea that I had, and I talked to Pat Nelson. So if you guys know Pat Nelson, he knows just about everybody in the community, and just threw out an idea of, hey, do you think we could get a fireworks stand this year? And this was, I don't know, maybe 3 weeks ago. And he said, sure, and got me connected. And here we are, you know, the end of June, we will have our fireworks stand. It'll be at Four Corners at the Goodwill parking lot. Right there, we're going to have Operation Fire for Effect, which is a fireworks stand to number one, raise awareness about PTSD and veteran suicide. And also, you know, the profits that we get from the fireworks stand are going to go to send more veterans on the mission field for healing. So it's really exciting. You guys come and check it out. The Saturday before the 4th, we're going to have a big party out there. You know, we've got a live DJ, and we're going to have a dance battle and all kinds of events happening. So, if you haven't found it on the website, go to our page, find Operation Fire for Effect. It's an event we have, link into that, and come check it out.
Fantastic. That's definitely not to be missed. Definitely support that. Look at the Facebook page. If you have any questions, check out Q Missions, and he's definitely got that as an event. Fire for Effect, not to be missed. Trust me on this. I'm a little bummed I'm actually going to be out of town this 4th of July, but I am still going to come support and still buy some fireworks because, as we all know, it's not limited to the 4th of July. Edit that later so that the cops don't hear it. Okay. Anyway, so one of the big reasons we brought you guys in the studio is just got back from a trip from Mexico. Actually, you just got back from two trips, but both of you just came back from Memorial Day and building another house, you know, teaming up with YWAM. And just wanted to get an update. We'll start off with a little update on what happened on this trip.
Yeah, so it was really great. We brought down, we had 30 people come down. You know, I think we had like 14 or 15 were veterans. And then each veteran, you know, typically brought a family member with them, a spouse or as part of their support network to be with them. We also brought six family members of the fallen Marine that we were building for, which is Brian Bertrand. He's a good friend of mine that I grew up with. We went to high school together and we played football together. And then, you know, he joined the Marines shortly after I did, and he served under me for a while. And so really close with his family. So it was really, really neat to have six of his family members come out for the build and be part of it. Because every home that we build in Mexico, we build in honor of one of our fallen heroes. So this trip was especially meaningful to me because I got to, you know, build in honor of one of my personal heroes, you know, Brian Bertrand. So it was really, really unique opportunity to navigate with my team down there, having it being such a personal trip for me.
Excellent. And one of the great parts about this was, and that is exactly why we brought Bo in, is because this time you actually had somebody that was documenting the whole thing. They were videotaping and recording what was going on. And so you now have, we actually now have this totally different perspective of someone from the outside looking in right as it happened. So what did you think about that, Bo?
Absolutely. Wow. So, well, first of all, a bit about me. This is what I do for a living, which is I run a nonprofit film studio that produces video for other nonprofits. So really, I was embedded within the team of Operation Restore Hope, which I honestly felt a little apprehensive about because, you know, you always hear stories in the news about the journalist that's embedded with the Marines on the front line. And this, the journalist who gives away everybody. Like, really? We're going to have the press along with us? But really, that's our goal is to serve the soldiers, to capture what Q Missions is doing in the field and tell the rest of the world. And in so doing so, you are not only encouraging more veterans and getting the word out there about these lessons that these men and women are learning in the field, but you're also inadvertently giving Q Missions more support because there's more awareness. So we're basically a megaphone for Q Missions. And what really struck me about this trip, there were really four major aspects, facets, if I were to kind of break them down. So picture a pitchfork, and there were four tines. And this whole mission trip was this pitchfork. One of them, I would say, is, as Aaron just mentioned, was honoring a fallen soldier, a very, very dear friend of his. And so they invited family members along with him on this trip. So that's one tine, so to speak, one spike. Another facet of this trip is the people themselves. There are a lot of men and women who are struggling with the effects of war. And so there's a healing process going on with them. The third facet of this mission trip was building a home for a poor family. And we're talking dirt, dirt poor. Once you see this footage, you will be blown away that this family lives in these conditions. Truly heartbreaking, but also it stirs so much compassion in you to see these veterans stepping out of their comfort zone, where it's so hard for them even to get out of bed in the morning here in Washington State, let alone in Tijuana, Mexico, which is not the most, you know, not the cleanest of environments. And lastly, the fourth facet of this is, of course, the film. We are creating a documentary of Q Missions, of Operation Restore Hope, this incredible program that they've got going down there. We are following three personalities, three characters, so to speak. And our goal is to accurately tell their story and how God is working in their hearts and the transformations that took place in Mexico.
That's fantastic. That's a great opportunity. I can't wait to see what's going on. So we, right there was a little bit of a preview. So you got to wait till the end. We got a big announcement coming at the end of this podcast. But you know what? That's good. That's good. They were maybe about to go, I don't know. This sounds kind of boring. Another missions update. No. We always like to tantalize them a little bit. No, that's great. So now we're going to play a little game. All right. So what we've got is
spin the bottle.
No. We don't.
Easy.
I'm just kidding. My wife, if she's listening to this,
let me tell you something. Just because it's legal doesn't make it right. Okay. So here we go.
Are you going to tag that?
Yeah.
That's going to be my ringtone. But I do have a few questions. You have a very unique perspective because you're a trained observer. Right. And so, in the military, I was a trained observer. So I see things maybe a little bit differently or a little bit more in depth, when I look at a situation. And you're the same way because you look at it through a camera lens. So you're always observing people, what they're doing, what they're saying, their body language, you know, the line of questioning you have for them, whether, it's getting too personal and you need to back it off a little bit or ask more. So, like I said, you're a trained observer. So, it'll be neat to get some insight about different facets of the trip from you.
Absolutely. And it's not like I'm a Sherlock Holmes here that I'm picking up on absolutely every small little thing. And I examine your pocket watch and I can tell, you know, what you had for lunch that morning or that day. But yes, it is true that I do observe things. My background is theater. I'm actually a professional mime. And in order to copy a character, you need to observe all the little intricacies of the, you know, their mannerisms and pick up on those and then go a step further and actually emulate those and personify them yourself. So yes, you are right. I'm always watching. And when I'm trying to explain something to my wife, like, you know, that guy at church, I forget his name, but I describe him like, you know, he's got a mashed potato face and, you know, his nose kind of remind you of a pickle. And she gets it. She's like, oh yeah, that, like, I'm not being mean. It's just, that's how I observe people. So, Aaron, you have a magnificent beard that reminds me of a bear.
One of the questions I had, so I wrote a little handbook for the veterans who were going. I kind of tagged some trigger points for them that I thought might be something that would, be a stress point for them. So one of the first ones was crossing the border. So you were in a different vehicle than I was. You were actually in the larger vehicle. So what, can you tell me like what the mood was, how you observed, the crossing of the border?
Well, in case anyone out there understands about border crossings, it's really not a time to joke. If you're going to joke about bombs or knives in your belts or things of that nature, you don't want to do that at a border. Now, given the nature of this trip, you're dealing with a lot of different personalities, and you have someone who is a major who's been in the military for many, many years. And then you may have someone else, maybe like me, for example, who's a mime. Who's this guy in the back seat? And why is he so quiet? Why is he observing me?
Why does he look like he's trapped in a box?
Let him out. He's suffocating and turning white. Wait, that's the face paint.
That's right.
But I digress. Yes, the border crossing itself, for the most part, it went relatively smoothly, despite all of the warnings that you gave us beforehand. But in our vehicle, things immediately got tense right when you saw that sign, right when you drove under that sign that said Mexico, and you knew that you were leaving the country, this country that you were most likely born in, let alone that you may have even shed some blood for this country. And if you come back from, you know, serving overseas in combat, probably the last thing you're thinking is, I'm going to leave this soil that I fought for. So very interesting. The tone, it was like a light switch. Suddenly there was just kind of some nervous chatter. And no, there were no jokes or anything, at least from what I observed. But yeah, eventually we did get through. They just opened up the doors, shined a flashlight underneath. And with our big white vans, it was fairly obvious that we were going to do mission work. But how was your van? Did it go through okay? Did they strip search you or anything, Aaron?
No, actually with the smaller van that I was in, we just breezed right through. They didn't even stop us. They just wave us right through.
No way. So. Wow. You're becoming so much of a regular. They're just like, oh, it's Señor Aaron. He's back to get our tacos. Let him through. He brings so much commerce to our taco chains.
So since you brought up tacos, I was going to save that for my last question, but you brought up tacos. Oh, just real quick, what did you think of Taco Nazo?
Oh, the tacos if anybody out there has grown up on Taco Bell when you're plowing through college, you know, I'm not going to smack them because they've always been there for us with their prices and their squeezy bottles that they, you know, they're squirting these refried beans out of toothpaste tubes into your tortilla. But this is not the case. You are in Mexico, so everything is authentic. We're talking handmade warm tortillas. You see a rather scary looking gentleman with a giant machete chopping up meat. They don't chop up meat with a dainty little knife. No, he's going at it with his entire upper body and a massive machete as long as my arm. And the meat is just so juicy. It's so succulent. I don't know what the marinade is, but I'm fairly certain that drugs are easily accessible in Mexico. And I'm pretty sure they sprinkled something in there because it was really, really addicting.
That was the short version. We had to edit that down. No, I'm just kidding. So no, the tacos are really good. I talk them up every time we go down there, but, people always think, oh, it can't be that good. And then they have them, you know, and so they really are good.
They're just amazing.
One of the other things, Bo, and then I think this is probably the last question that I have, and then I'll let Casey come in, and I'm sure he's got all kinds of questions. But just I kind of want to understand the first question is your feelings when you first got on the job site, when you were able to see that slab of concrete and that big pile of wood. Like, what were your initial impression? And then the second question would be, what did you observe from the group that maybe was unique?
Indeed. My first impression when we arrived to the job site was, we're not going to get this built in 2 days. I have built a shed before, a office style shed by myself, and I had a nail gun. There was no compressor nearby. There was no nail gun. And so there I am looking around, observing the tools on hand. As well as this somewhat ragtag group of people, you know, let's be honest, we don't all know construction skills. I don't. And here we have these this very raw talent. But what was so interesting compared to other mission trips that I've been on, and through Knock Studio, I have had the luxury of sitting at the feet of these giants, these incredible organizations that have had so much impact in the world for Christ. But this was different. These people knew their tasks. They knew who was assigned to them. And they went where they were told, and they took down what they were told to take down. And I think that's the military culture. And it was so incredible to see immediately people doing what they do best. And if they didn't know how to hang drywall, they were being told how to hang drywall, and they were doing it. If they were not comfortable with heights, suddenly they were up on the roof, and they were hammering these shingles in. But one other thing that I'd really like to mention on a deeper level, and that is that's the Christian facet of it. I've also had the opportunity to work with some organizations and some people who even call themselves ministries. And there's very little ministry about the ministry that they're doing. Granted, this is in times past. So anyone listening to this isn't going to be like, oh, he's talking about us. No. I'm not. But before I really got into Knock Studio full time, you'll notice that people sometimes serve because it's about them. They feel good about it. They drive up to an intersection and they hand a $5 bill to a homeless guy. And I'm not questioning whether that's right or wrong. I'm not going to go into that right now. But you ask them, why do you do that? And they say, well, I feel good about it. And I say, what about the fellow who you're giving the money to? Maybe a second chance or something like that? No. I just feel good about it. But this wasn't like that. With Operation Restore Hope, yes, they were there for some healing and to find some answers and to get some tools on how to deal with PTSD, but they were unashamed about Jesus. Absolutely unashamed. There was immediate prayer on the site, gathered around in a circle. Guys, we're going to commit this project to God because we are not here for ourselves to make ourselves feel warm and fuzzy. Honestly, there's a ton of organizations out there already doing that. They're the Red Cross. And nothing against the Red Cross. It's just they do it for very, very different purposes. But these people were there not just to build a house, but to preach the gospel and to give these people not just the keys to a house, but a Bible with those keys.
Yeah, and that's one of the really neat things that YWAM as an organization, what they do is they take a light and they put it up on a hill, you know, so it brings light to that whole community. That house brings light to the whole community. You can drive through those barrios and everybody knows which house are YWAM houses.
Absolutely.
They've been there for 25 years building homes, you know, so they've got a huge presence there. Not just in the barrios, but with the government as well. The government has taken notice of what they do. They get frequent visits from the government, you know, on the projects that they're working on, because they build that house and that gives them kind of a foothold, if you will, you know, if you use a military term, a foothold in that community to minister to other people, because they do give them a Bible and they teach them, they give them Bible study as well, you know, if they're open to that. And then they start to teach them how to lead Bible study in their community, in the house that was provided to them. And so through that, the gospel is being preached. So if we just went and built a house and said, see you later, it would be a waste. It would be for nothing.
Or the flip side, if you went in and said, hey, let me tell you about this Jesus person, and you haven't really earned any respect there, in the same way that Jesus went in and he would heal someone first. And then when you keep reading, that's when the deeper spiritual truth sinks in. That's when he tells them who the Son of God is. And so I love that analogy, a foothold to earn their respect, to earn the right to be heard. And YWAM, do they have it dialed in?
Oh, they've got it dialed in. I work with a lot of organizations all over the world. And YWAM probably is the most finely tuned machine that I've ever worked with. That's why when I bring veterans who are vulnerable and who are hurting, I bring them to YWAM first. It's almost like a boot camp for them. You know, this is their first introduction to this lifestyle, to being, you know, back in a servant role. And YWAM makes it so easy for me. They're so accommodating with the things that I need and the things that veterans need. You know, they're so accommodating. One of the things that they do for us that they don't have to do, but they do it because they love us and they want us to feel honored and they want us to feel part of their community is when we come, they will set up a POW MIA table in the chow hall, which to other people, they may not understand it. It may not mean anything to them. But to us, we know every DFAC and every chow hall that we go into when we're in the military has a POW MIA table, and it's set up the exact same way. We know the symbolism of every piece, every element that's on that table. We know why it is there and what it is for. The way the chair is set, the way the plate and the cup are set, all of that has meaning, and we understand it. So the fact that they go through the trouble to make sure that that is correct and that they set that up for us when we're there, that just speaks to the level of servanthood that YWAM as an organization has for us short-term missionaries who come and work on projects with them.
That is great. That is just great. My first introduction to Bo was pretty funny because we're talking on microphones that were actually bought because I watched a review from Amazon that he did. And I thought, this is a small world, man. This is just so cool, right? Well, what I want to know is, how did you go from one of the top Amazon reviewers to creating this nonprofit studio?
Oh, boy. So if you want to know something about me, I always am trying to do something differently. So whether it's a school project at college or breakfast in the morning, I'm always trying to do something differently. Or if I see someone else doing something, I'll copy them and then try to do it better. Oftentimes that is a miserable failure. But one of the things was Amazon reviews. I basically am approached by companies. I get about 15 emails a day with different products in them. And they say, hey, would you like to review these Bluetooth headphones? Or would you like to review this, this inappropriate product? And I say yes or no. And then I have to demonstrate these products. And because I'm so used to creating videos so quickly and efficiently, all of my reviews are video reviews. And that makes me very, very different from all the other written reviews out there. Really, the only written review is the shower mirror. Of course, I'm not going to video myself in the shower. but it's quite incredible, this industry of reviews out there. And by the way, your microphones, they just sound so good.
Don't they?
Very nice. Oh, they're luxurious.
I need to go click that was helpful.
There you go. Help them out.
So how did you go from that to opening up your ministry?
Well, with Knox Studio, it originally started back in 2010. If you've ever heard of Mercy Ships, so think giant floating hospital ships. And they're in West Africa, and I've actually been making videos for a long, long time, ever since high school, making these viral videos for companies, because as I mentioned earlier, every project has to be different. And so companies take notice, and Doritos is like, hey, we'll give you some good money to make us a video, or Crest toothpaste. And there really wasn't anything rewarding in that. And so I asked my wife one day, hey, do you want to go to Sierra Leone for 6 months?
She's like, sure. Yeah.
Of course, my darling wife, who's a very accomplished ICU nurse, she said yes. So we didn't have any kids, and off we shipped to Sierra Leone, which, in case none of you are familiar with Sierra Leone, think the Ebola outbreak. That is the epicenter. And we actually just got back from there a few months ago, hearing some incredible stories of how God and ministries are working in the lives of people impacted by Ebola. But I'm getting ahead of myself. So there we were on Mercy Ships, and I thought to myself, you know what? If a wonderful organization like Mercy Ships can afford to have a volunteer videographer on board and three photographers and two writers, a full-blown marketing staff, what about these smaller organizations, these smaller ministries that honestly are having just as huge of an impact for God's kingdom? So why can't I create my own studio and work on a project-to-project basis? So not lock them into a contract, not say, hey, you're going to have to hire us for 6 months. Just say, what would you like accomplished? So to use this as an example, Aaron said, I would like a documentary done of this trip. And I said, oh, great. We'll do a little 3 or 4 minute video of summing it up. And he said, no. I want a full blown documentary. I want you, Bo, to follow people I want the highs. I want the lows. I want to bring people to tears, and not just to manipulate their emotions, but to share with the world what God is doing through Q Missions and Operation Restore Hope.
Well, isn't that a documentary too, is to put you in the situation, even though you can't make it there, you can bring, instead of 20 some odd people, you're bringing thousands and millions of people to that situation.
And that is the magic of video. I look at it as the modern day printing press. When the printing press came out, Johannes Gutenberg was at his name. The Bible took off like wildfire. And now you get on Facebook and it's not uncommon to see a video at 2 million views. Mm-hmm. This technology of video, however, in the videographer industry, it's very, very expensive. It's not uncommon to drop $10,000 or $20,000 on a video. And some organizations like World Vision can afford that. But as a nonprofit, our prices are offset by other wonderfully generous donors. And basically, instead of having a conversation at a coffee table or at a coffee shop one-on-one, suddenly you are touching hundreds of lives in the same way that you, Casey, are touching countless lives with the technology of podcasting. And God is using that skill to further his kingdom.
Couldn't have said it any better myself. All right. Well, that leads us. That was perfect, because here comes the big announcement. Guys, I'd like you to tell us about this huge documentary that is weeks in the making. This is what's awesome. Okay, guys, seriously, when I heard this, I was floored. So they were just there Memorial Day. Here we are. It's June 8th. And I hear he's almost done. So excited. And you guys are looking at going to be trying to get this out. So I'm going to stop. You got to tell everybody what's going on.
Well, so I wanted the documentary because I originally wanted to be able to take this with me and kind of take the show on the road and go to other cities and go to like the VFW hall and be able to present this and then give, you know, tell them a little bit about Q Missions, present the video, and then ask them to come alongside us, not just monetarily, but also veterans in that organization or in that corporation, to come with me on Q Missions. And so that was my kind of vision, is to be able to have this thing that I can, this tool that I can use to draw people in and get them involved in Q Missions and Operation Restore Hope. Bo, of course, had a much grander vision than I did. So he came to me just 2 days ago. I think I just returned back from Mexico, literally supposed to be my day off. And Bo comes over to discuss with me, the idea that he had, which was,
so we are doing a premiere, a screening, and not just one of those, hey, we're going to set up a projector. No, no, ladies and gentlemen, this will be a red tie. Okay, black tie. Sorry, I like different colored ties. This is a fancy event. You know, we're not going to kick you out if you show up in shorts and a Hawaiian shirt, but make it fun. We're going to have a red carpet there. This is going to be in Enumclaw at the Chalet. The date will be in early July. We're still working on that right now. But there's a meaning behind this. It's also partly a fundraiser as well. And part of the proceeds, half will be going to Q Missions to help veterans struggling with PTSD. And the other half will be going to Knock Studio, my own nonprofit that captures impact and broadcasts love. And so this screening is going to be absolutely epic. It's not just going to be, here's the video, here's that, you're done. No, no, there will be gift bags. There will be awesome raffles with custom baskets. But yes, we're going to have an instant photo given to them right then and there, so they have a keepsake to carry home. And you guys are invited. Everybody is invited. Yes, there are limited seats within this place, but dude, we want to pack this place out. The more people there are, the more energy there is. And this message behind this film is a profound message. It's not something that, you know, you're going to see Avengers or Spider-Man or nothing against those movies. After you're done with this, your heart will be changed. And you're going to be seeing people's whose hearts are being put out for people to see. So we entrust you with this. We are trusting the audience to come and support Operation Restore Hope and Knock Studio.
That sounds great, guys. I'm so glad to hear that that's going on. It's been great just having you here talking about it all. So for those of you that want more information, You know, we're going to have that out as soon as possible. I believe all three of our sites will have this available. So for Knock Studio, it's going to be facebook.com/KnockStudio.
And Knock is a funky spelling, K-N-O-K.
That is correct.
Just Google Knock, K-N-O-K.
And then we've got facebook.com/QMissions. That'll correct. Get you that page. And you've got facebook.com/ThrivePodcast. All three of these, we're going to interlink these to where you think we're all one. Great show. I was not let down at all. I had a great time. I don't know about you guys.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, it's always fun coming in here, Casey. Thank you.
All right. Well, guys, I really appreciate it. And thanks, guys, for coming.
And that's a wrap.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that was one of my favorite shows so far. One of. Don't worry out there, those of you that have already been on. But definitely, that was one of my favorite shows. And I think Bo's energy is...
infectious.
It is. That's the perfect word. It's infectious. And I loved the story of how he really got started in his ministry.
Yeah, I agree. It was really interesting to see the three of you, or I guess here, I'm sorry, because this is a podcast without video, just hear the three of you guys talk. And I, as I was listening to the podcast and kind of reflecting and thinking about you guys talking about your individual ministries, I just think it just reminded me how amazing God is, how amazing that 1 to 2 years ago, you know, you guys were both, all three of you were working hard, you know, following what God was telling you to do, and yet couldn't see, you know, 2 years down the road that here, all three of your ministries, the Thrive Podcast, Q Missions, Knox Films, would come together so beautifully in order to do what you guys did the other day. You know, there was a lot of, you know, it reminds me of that old saying, or maybe it's not an old saying, but luck is what happens when opportunity meets hard work. And I think, you know, all three of you guys have worked very hard in your what God's told you to do, and this opportunity came up. And so I'm just excited to see what's next for all of this, and also just how God's going to get all the glory for it. So
keep an eye on all three of these ministries to see what happens in the future. I do believe that God does have big plans for all of us.
And that's the Mallorca Minute.
So, can I tell them about the big surprise?
Well, I wanted to tell him about the big surprise.
No, I want to.
I know, but this is my show.
No, I want to tell him. Come on, honey.
All right, go ahead and tell him.
So we're giving away two tickets to the Operation Restore Hope documentary that's going to be at the Chalet Theater in Enumclaw on July 7th. I may have already said that, but just in case you forgot the date, that's July 7th. It is a red carpet, like Bo said, a black tie, bow ties, if you like, event.
All right, so to enter this contest, it's real easy. Like the episode link on our Facebook page, and then if you can share it, and write a comment when you share it, you will be entered to get two free tickets to the Chalet Theater to watch this brilliant premiere from Knock Studio and Operation Restore Hope with Q Missions. So once again, just share, put a comment in there, and we will enter you to win two free tickets. That's all the time we have for this week. Thank you so much for joining us. I look forward to bringing you some more shows. And let me know if you like the new logo. You know, we got that all worked out and really like it, and hope that everybody else does as well. Until next time, God doesn't want us to just survive. He'd like us to thrive. Have a blessed week.